welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
The Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is wonderful. The Lord our God is omnipotent. He is wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this glorious day. Thank you, God, for the privilege just to be able to stand behind the desk just to declare your goodness and your mercy. We love you. We praise you, God, as we are here again. One more time, God, not because we're so good, but because you're so great. Yeah. It is the preaching hour, God, and I pray right now, God, that you allow me to speak prophetically what you have given me to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is just good to be in the house again.
Yeah.
Whether it's the home house or the church house.
Yeah.
One more time. Just to even be allowed to be able to share. I will be continuing in the book of Ruth this morning again. This morning we're going to be coming from the second chapter of Ruth. Those of you that have been with us over the last few weeks, we dealt with Ruth the first time. Trouble don't last always. Last Sunday we did your faith enables you to circumvent cultural norms. And this morning, we're going to try to conclude what I see in this second chapter that God has given me to share. Verse 1 says, "And now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' And Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, 'The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you.' They called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvester, 'Whose young woman is that?' The foreman replied, 'She is a Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, "Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning to now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the fields where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge."
Yeah.
"May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord," she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. In the meantime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvester, she offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some leftover. And as she got up to glean with Boaz, gave orders to his men, even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. And don't rebuke her. Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she thrashed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She gathered it back to town, carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I work with today is Boaz, she said. Thus ended the reading of God's holy word. Think with me this morning, our action speaks louder than our words. Action speaks louder than words. Naomi was bitter against God, but Ruth was willing for God to have his way in her life. The key to getting victory over a bitter, despondent spirit is always to get our eyes off of our circumstances and to get our eyes on the blessings of God. See, before God can change our circumstances, he wants to change our hearts. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we become worse. We've often heard the phrase, all talk, no action. Our talk is cheap. They both describe a person who talks about doing something, but never does. It is a shallow concern that does no one any good. Likewise, a faith that is all talk and no action is a shallow faith that does no one any good. See, the church has too many people whose personal commitment to Christ is shallow and whose spiritual transformation is minimal or non-existent. Have you ever noticed that when you want to introduce something new in ministry, everybody would love it? The idea was great. Count me in. But as soon as you ask them to help, they have all kind of excuses. On the other hand, there are some who have let work take the place of faith. In such cases, their work is not an expression of their faith, but an attempt to gain God's favor and earn salvation. And we know that that's impossible to do. That's why our actions must speak louder than our words. I can remember as a young man, there was a boxer whose name was Cassius Clay. You know him as Muhammad Ali. He became the youngest boxer heavyweight champion in history. He was so cocky that he would often predict with accuracy the round that he was going to knock his opponent out in. He was the greatest of all time. He was one of few that could back up what he said would happen, because his actions would speak louder than his words. Naomi and Ruth were two widow women who had lost their husbands and soul and their soul's possessions and all of the support that they had.
Yeah.
They had no job, no family to take care of them, no access to food or any type of medical assistance. In other words, they were poor. No food stamps were available. No Medicaid card could be available to them. They were just two widow women struggling along. One was trying to depend on God. One used to know God, but now she became bitter because she blamed God for her situation. They were living in Bethlehem, forced to search for leftover grain in the fields that were just harvested. Ruth was not only a poor widow, but she was also an immigrant. And we know how we feel about immigrants, don't we? A person who was viewed negatively by society. She wasn't looking for a husband. She wasn't looking for wealth or fame. All she wanted to do was to take care of her mother-in-law. Thus, her actions, again, spoke louder than her words. Naomi and Ruth had no idea that they were part of an eternal plan that will fulfill God's promise to Abraham,
yeah,
that his seed will bring blessings,
yeah,
to the whole world.
Right.
In Genesis, the 12th chapter, it tells us that all people on earth will be blessed because of Abraham, all his seed. And even though Ruth's story begins with the death of a husband, it also ends with the birth of a baby.
Yes, sir.
If we want God to work in our lives and accomplish his gracious purposes, then there are certain conditions that we must meet. So today I want to talk to you about three conditions that I see in the text. The first one is, we must live by faith in the Lord. Oh yeah, we gotta have faith. To live by faith means to take God and his word, mm-hmm, and then act upon it. The text tells us that in James it says, faith without works is what? Dead. Faith is only as good as its object. Ruth put her faith in the God of Israel as well as God's covenant people in Bethlehem. She said to Naomi earlier, your people will be my people. She said, your God will be my God. Where you go, there I will be also. Where you die, there I will be buried also. Since Ruth believed that God loved her and would provide for her, she set out to find a field where she can glean in. See, gleaning was a generous and just way to provide for people in need. Everyone had a chance to gather at least a little food for themselves. Even if they had no land. So this tells me we gotta stop looking for a handout. Stop depending on the government to help you out of your situation. God has already said in his word that we will have fields that we can glean in. He said in his word there won't be enough food no matter what your circumstances are. And sometimes we have people that they use that as a means to provide income. They take advantage of us. I know that there are poor people legitimately in this world and in this society, but sometimes we have to remember that if you're willing to work, you can live. Stop looking for a handout. God's justice in the Old Testament provided an opportunity for the poor, for the fatherless, and even for foreigners. Part of God's provision was that his people must allow for gleaning. In Leviticus, it tells us, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleaning of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. The Bible says, leave them for the poor and the farmers. I am the Lord your God. See, when everything looks as bleak and there's no hope in you, we are determined to trust that the Father is in complete control. We do not give up or quit because we have faith that the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures through every generation. We are willing to face adversity and forego good opportunities that offer temporary comfort in order to take hold of the very best that God has planned for us. See, life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to the next and then finally to heaven. No, life is a winding and troubled road. Right? Life has setbacks. Life has switchbacks. Life has up, life has down. But the Bible said the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord established his steps. So the steps of a good man or a good woman are constantly ordered by the Lord. See, there are no coincidences in a believer's life. God is always at work directing the steps of our life. You see, no matter what hardship we face, we must stop trying to figure out the why. Stop blaming the who and the what. Stop complaining about what you don't have, but put your faith in God's hand and he will guide your path. That's the God that we serve. That's what we have to understand. Your actions speak louder than words. God has already demonstrated his actions in his son. He said, now I've already given you a second chance. What does your actions appear to be? Our actions must speak louder than our words. The second point in the text I see, we must live by the grace of God. Live by the grace of God. There are people who will always remind us of our past. In the text it says, Boaz asked his foreman of his harvest, he said, who's the young woman in the field? The farmer replied, she's a Moabitess.
Right, right, right.
She came with Naomi. People will always remind you where you used to be.
Yeah.
No matter where you go in life. They remember your past. The purpose of our past should remind us of the faithfulness of God. That's what we should think about when people try to throw a negative slant on where you came from. Just look back and say, I'm grateful that God brought me out of that crack house. I'm grateful that he gave me another chance to get it right. That's what you remember. But I remember his faithfulness. And for that, I'm grateful, God. We must not forget our past. But we must not allow the past to hinder our future. God wants to give us a new blessing each and every day. He wants to be successful in our life. He wants us to be successful in our ministry, successful in our marriages, successful in our relationship with each other. And then we should start living not in the past, but reaching towards the future. In this text, we find a wonderful illustration of the New Testament church. What do you mean, preacher? The field is a picture of the world. Boaz is a type of representative of the Lord. The servant of the fields are the redeemed, and Ruth stands as a picture of those who come to Christ in salvation. See, when Ruth set out that morning to glean in the fields, she was looking for someone who would show her some grace. She She was walking in the spirit of the Lord. She was walking away from the old life of bondage into a new life of abundance. You see, grace is love that pays the price to help the undeserving. That's you and that's me. The Lord led Ruth to the field of Boaz, and then led Boaz to visit the field while Ruth was there. This was a sign of God's providential grace. When we commit our lives to the Lord, what happens to us happens by way of God's appointment and not by accident. Ruth was still a poor widow, and Ruth was still an immigrant. But God was bound to create a new relationship that would completely change her circumstances. That's the kind of God we serve. I want to make sure you get this point. A minister spoke with a professing Christian and asked if he had attended a small Bible study group. The man said, no. He said, but the dying thief on the cross was not involved in a small Bible study group, and he was okay. The minister asked him again, he says, have you been active in the local church? The man replied again, he said, no, but the dying thief on the cross was not active in a local church, and he was accepted. Okay. The minister then asked him again, he said, have you been baptized? The man responded, he said, no, but the dying thief was not baptized either. And he made it into heaven. The minister then replied, he said, listen, the only difference between you and the dying thief is that the thief was dying in his belief and you are dead in yours. See, love from God is a free gift. But the evidence of our salvation is how we live our life according to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Don't compare yourself to somebody else.
Yeah, that's right.
You have no idea what was involved in their journey.
Right.
Grace means that God makes the first move to come to our aid. Not because we deserve anything, but because he loves us and wants us for himself. See, obedience to the plans of God for our lives can lead us into a very tempting situation. And as Ruth gleaned in the fields, she had yet to meet Boaz. She was unaware of the providence of God regarding her situation. The Lord had led her to a place where she would be noticed by Boaz, the man who would serve as her kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer, a man that acts on behalf of a relative in trouble or in need. That's what Boaz was. He just happened to be there because God ordained it so. He happened to see her because God ordained it so. She thought she picked the field, but God had already ordained it so. For her to be noticed. And that's the type of God we serve. God will always put you on display.
Yeah.
No matter what was in your past. Yeah. Once you come to Jesus Christ, he's proud of all your accomplishments. He's proud of where you are. So God likes to show us off. He used to wipe off the dust from the trophy and put us out front.
Yeah.
So all can see. Here's the third part. I'm getting close. We must live by hope. That's all we got.
Yes, sir.
All day long, Ruth labored with a happy, hopeful heart. She didn't have to worry about the men harassing her or the other workers hindering her. In verse 15, it says, when she sat down with the harvesters, he, meaning Boaz, offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. He said, even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her.
Yeah.
Boaz said, I run this show. Don't embarrass her. Wherever she want to glean, whatever is laying down, matter of fact, throw some extra stuff down when she comes by. That's the kind of God we serve. God said, you want the crumbs, but I'm going to make sure you get a full working supply.
Yep.
He said, then drop off some extra stuff for her when she comes by.
Yep. Yep.
Here's a man that didn't even know her. Here's a man that cared enough for his workers, but he also cared enough for her. Even when he found out she was an immigrant, that didn't bother him. He asked the question, who is that? People will always cloud other people's judgment or make an attempt to do that. But God is still in control. She had food when she was hungry, drank when she was thirsty, a place of rest when she became weary. Whatever we are going through, God already knows. And his love for his people never fails. He is watching over all of us, even right now. He always has us in the palm of his hand. See, no matter what happens or how our story goes, we can be sure that we are never outside of God's plan. See, I know we have our own desires, our own ambitions, our own things that we want to accomplish in life. But we are never outside of his plan. Revelations 21 and 3 through 5, it's a reminder of the incredible hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. God has promised us a place in heaven where there will be no more suffering or pain, and where he will wipe the tears from our eyes. See, our struggle is never too big for God. And no matter how hopeless we feel, there is a hope greater than our despair. See, when Naomi saw the grain, she blessed the man who allowed Ruth to work in his field. And when she heard the man's name was Boaz, Naomi blessed the Lord.
Yeah.
This change came about because of the new hope that she had in her heart. And the one who gave her that new hope was Boaz, because she knew that that was her husband's relative. See, no matter how you may feel, no matter how difficult your circumstances may be, we can rejoice in hope if we will focus on our faith in Jesus Christ. For the Christian believer, hope is not a shallow hope, so feeling generated by optimism or fantasies. Hope is an inner sense of joyful assurance and confidence as we trust God's promises and face the future with his help. See, we need God. God don't need us. We need God. God used Ruth to turn Naomi's bitterness into gratitude. God used Ruth to help Naomi's unbelief to become faith again, and her despair into hope. One person trusting the Lord and obeying his will can change a situation from defeat to victory.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story that I see. I'm done, but I gotta tell you a story. A scientist climbed to a lofty height to complete his final theory. He wanted to see how different things responded to being dropped from the same height. He dropped the plate, and as soon as it hit the ground, it shattered into a million pieces. He then dropped a bag of flour, and it hit the ground with a loud thump. He then dropped a ball, and it bounced back up and down several times before it came to a stop. You see, they were each dropped from the same height.
Yeah.
But each had a different result as they landed.
Yeah.
Each item responded to being dropped based on what was in the inside of them.
Yes, sir.
That made them what they are.
Yeah.
See, we all are created in God's image, cut from the same cloth. Although we may encounter the same problem and circumstances as someone else, but the circumstances do not matter. What matters is how we respond to the circumstances. See, we can fall to pieces like the plate. We can lay dead as a bag of flour. Or we can bounce up and down like a bouncing ball. But in our story today, we see Ruth behaving like a bouncing ball. Her concern is not for herself and grief, but her concern is for the future. And when we serve others in obedience to God's word, we ourselves will receive the greatest and satisfaction of joy. See, actions always speak louder than words.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the hymn writer that said this: there is something within me that holdeth the reins.
Yes,
there's something within me that banishes the pain. There's something within me that I cannot explain.
Yes,
all that I know, there's something within me. There's gotta be something on the inside that's working on the outside that people can see that your actions speak louder than your words. The Lord is still blessing us. The Lord is still working through us. Jesus Christ said, if you would just have the faith the size of the mustard seed. He said you can speak to those mountains in your life, be cast in the sea of forgetfulness, and be remembered no more. Don't dwell on the fact that people remember the old stuff. Dwell on the fact that they remember the old stuff, but that's the stuff that brought you out. That's the future that God has. The doors of the church are open. There might be somebody that's listening or looking, and you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. The Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He says salvation is yours. We have to understand that we all have to walk by faith. We all have to trust in him. Just like Boaz was Ruth Kinsman Redeemer, Jesus Christ has already redeemed us on the cross. Because if he shed his blood, then we might have a right to the tree of life. So if you don't know Jesus as they sang and play, this is your opportunity to accept him as Lord of your life. Is there somebody that's talking to themselves? Because we are not there with you. If you're talking to yourself, then you know what you need to do. You can't get yourself together, because if you could, you would have done it a long time ago. But we want to help you. And what we want to do today is offer you Jesus Christ. Is there one? On your Christian experience, is there one? In a backsliding condition, is there one? So what? We're in a pandemic. It doesn't stop you from giving your life to Christ. So what? Nobody's here in the church. Just as where you are right now, you can receive him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak prophetically in your life right now, wherever you are. Just put down on your knees. Lay prostrate before the King of Kings. Just say, Lord, come into my life. Save my soul, God. I need you, God. Put your hands of attention around me. Oh, yes. Is there one? Yes. That's it, Sam. Go ahead, my sister, Sam. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your precious word. We pray and believe that whoever is on the phone, whoever is viewing this message today, God, this is their day. This is their opportunity to get it right. Bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Say, my sister. Yes. Now listen to me.